Having looked at Class 1 national insurance contributions, we will now move on and have a look at Class 1A and 1B NIC. Starting with Class 1A, it is very important to note that this is paid by employers only. Employees do not pay Class 1A national insurance. Class 1A NIC is paid by employers on the cash equivalent of benefits as they appear on the form P11D. Because Class 1A NIC is the liability of the employer, it is charged at the employer's rate of 12.8%. Payment is made in one lump on the 19th of July following the end of the tax year. This is deliberately timed so as to be 2 weeks after the submission of the form P11D to the revenue. So, having arrived at the cash equivalent of the benefit, it is easy for the employer to then go ahead and calculate his Class 1A NIC liability. Class 1B is also paid by employers only. Class 1B NIC is charged on emoluments which are included within a pay-as-you-earn settlement agreement, or PSA. We will take a look at PSAs later in this session. Again, as these are employers' contributions, the rate of NIC is 12.8%. Class 1B NIC is collected annually on the 19th of October following the end of the tax year. Let us run through a few details regarding Class 1A contributions. There will be no liability under Class 1A if there is no associated income tax liability. This means that exempt benefits, such as the provision of a mobile phone or a work car parking space or an exclusive nursery, etc., will not give rise to a Class 1A NIC charge. The £55 exemption for other types of childcare applicable to income tax also applies to Class 1A NICs. Similarly, if benefits are provided to lower paid employees, i.e. employees earning less than £8,500 per annum, there will usually be no income tax charge, so accordingly, there is no liability to Class 1A national insurance contributions. If a payment in kind is categorised as earnings, and as such is charged to NIC under the normal Class 1 rules, that benefit will not be charged on the employer under Class 1A. So, if an employer provides an employee with benefits such as premium bonds or readily convertible assets or high street store vouchers, the employer will have to pay Class 1 secondary contributions on those benefits because they are classified as earnings. As such, the employer will not, therefore, have to pay Class 1A as well. If a benefit is charged to national insurance under Class 1B, this also takes priority over Class 1A. Finally, if an employer reimburses genuine business expenses to an employee, as this is not a taxable benefit, it will not give rise to a Class 1A NIC charge. So let us run through a numerical example on Class 1A NIC. Let us take an employee who receives a salary of £24,000 per annum, and this salary is paid monthly, i.e. the employee receives a monthly salary of £2,000. In addition, the employee has use of a company car, and we are told that the car benefit is £4,200. The employee is also provided with a medical insurance benefit, the cash equivalent of which is £600. In December 2009, the employee is given a high street store voucher worth £200. And in March 2010, the employee receives a cash bonus of £10,000. Our requirement here is to calculate total national insurance contributions payable for the tax year 2009-10. Note here we are calculating total national insurance contributions payable for the tax year. The first thing we will do is calculate the Class 1 primary contributions payable by the employee on his earnings. We then move on to calculate the Class 1 secondary contributions paid by the employer on earnings given to the employee. The final lot of national insurance will be the Class 1A NICs payable by the employer on the benefits awarded to the employee. We will start with the Class 1 primary contributions. The employee is paid monthly, so he has a monthly earnings period. For 10 months of the year, he earns a salary of £2,000. In December, he is given a High Street store voucher. This is regarded as earnings for Class 1 NIC purposes, so his earnings for December go up to £2,200. His other earnings for the year is the cash bonus of £10,000 paid in March, so for this month, his earnings in the period go up to £12,000. Remember that employees pay Class 1 National Insurance contributions at 11% on monthly earnings between the earnings limits and at 1% on earnings above the upper earnings threshold. The monthly earnings threshold for 2009-10 is £476, and the monthly upper limit is £3,656. Next, we move on to Class 1 secondary contributions. Total earnings for the year consist of the salary of £24,000, the store vouchers of £200, and the bonus of £10,000. Total earnings subject to secondary contributions in the year are therefore £34,200. Remember that there is no upper earnings limit for secondary contributions, so all earnings in excess of the earnings threshold will be charged to NIC. Finally, we will calculate the Class 1A liability. This is based on the benefits. The car benefit is £4,200. The only other benefit which will appear on the P11D for the year is the medical insurance of £600. We add this on to give us total taxable benefits for the year of £4,800. So, continuing the solution from the previous page, let us calculate the Class 1 primary liability. For 10 months of the year, earnings were £2,000, so we deduct the earnings threshold of £476 and multiply the excess by 11%. This will apply for 10 months of the year, giving NIC for that 10-month period of £1,676. For 1 month of the year, i.e. for December 2009, earnings go up to £2,200. The NIC for this month will be earnings minus the earnings threshold multiplied by 11%, giving us £190. Finally, the earnings for the month of March 2010 are £12,000. Earnings between the limits are charged to Class 1 primary NIC at 11%. To the extent that monthly earnings exceed the upper earnings threshold of £3,656, they will be charged to NIC at 1%. The NICs for March 2010 will be the upper limit of £3,656 minus £476 at 11%, giving us £350. The excess over £3,656 will be charged at 1%, giving NIC of £83. If we add these together, the employee's total Class 1 primary NIC liability is £2,299. These will be collected on a monthly basis by HMRC under the PAYE system. Moving on to the employer's Class 1 secondary contributions, here we simply take the annual earnings of £34,200, deduct the earnings threshold of £5,715, and multiply the excess by 12.8%. This gives us total secondary contributions of £3,646. Again, these contributions will be collected under the PAYE system. Finally, let us calculate any Class 1A contributions. Class 1A contributions are simply 12.8% of the benefits that appear on the P11D. Here, the Class 1A liability will be £4,800 multiplied by 12.8%, giving us £614. The Class 1A liability of £614 will be paid directly to the National Insurance Contributions Office on the 19th of July following the end of the tax year. The total contributions payable by the employer for the tax year are the secondary contributions plus the Class 1A liability, giving total employer's contributions of £4,260. This example demonstrates the interaction between Class 1 primary and secondary contributions and Class 1A NIC. What it also shows is that the NIC burden falls much heavier on employers than it does on employees. This is partly because there is no upper earnings limit for employers, and also because employees do not have the burden of Class 1A contributions. Let us move on to Class 1B contributions. To understand Class 1B contributions, we first need to discuss exactly what we mean by the term Pay-as-you-earn Settlement Agreement, or PSA. For those of you who have access to the tax statutes, it is certainly worth, at some point, taking a look at Statement of Practice No. 5 of 1996, in which the Inland Revenue very clearly set out what can and what cannot be included within a PAYE settlement agreement. The whole idea of a PSA is to allow an employer to settle an employee's tax liability on minor or irregular benefits. A common example of an irregular benefit which could be encompassed within a PSA would be a staff Christmas party that cost in excess of the tax-free threshold of £150. You will recall from your sessions on employment income that if an employer provides a Christmas party to an employee and the cost of the party is less than £150 per employee, this is an exempt benefit. However, if the cost exceeds £150, the employee has a taxable benefit on the whole amount of the cost. It is therefore customary, as a gesture of goodwill, for the employer to meet any tax liabilities arising to employees. The employer will do this by negotiating a tax settlement with the revenue. The revenue has also confirmed that PSAs are acceptable in instances where it is impractical for the employer to be able to apply pay-as-you-earn to a particular emolument. The revenue statement of practice clearly states that pay-as-you-earn settlement agreements should not be used as a vehicle for settling tax liabilities on cash payments or on major benefits, such as company cars or low-interest loans, etc. If tax on a particular benefit is included within a PSA, that benefit does not then have to be entered onto Form P11D. Similarly, the employee will not have to enter the cash equivalent of such benefits onto his own self-assessment tax return. This is because someone else, i.e. the employer, will pay the tax. Having agreed that items can be included within the PSA, the revenue will then negotiate the tax liability with the employer, and the employer will pay the tax on a grossed-up basis. We will illustrate how this works on the next page. So let us take the example of a company which has 100 employees. The employer holds a summer ball, and the total cost of that function is £20,000. You will see that divided by 100 employees, this comes out to be exactly £200 per head. Technically, each employee will therefore have a benefit of £200, as the cost of the party exceeds the £150 per head threshold. However, as a gesture of goodwill, the company agreed to meet the tax liabilities via a pay-as-you-earn settlement agreement. Of the employees, 50 of them pay tax at the basic rate of 20%, while 50 of them pay tax at the higher rate of 40%. Our requirement is to work out the amount of tax to be paid by the employer under the PSA. Let us consider the basic rate employees first. Each employee will have a benefit of £200. We call this a net benefit because the employee is deemed to have received a benefit of £200 after the tax has been settled by someone else, i.e. by the employer. To calculate the tax on this net benefit, as we are dealing with a basic rate employee, we need to multiply the net figure of £200 by 20 over 80. This gives us tax of £50 and gives rise to a gross benefit of £250. If you work this back, you will see that the gross benefit of £250 multiplied by the basic rate of tax gives us the tax charge of £50. This is the tax payable by the employer on behalf of each basic rate employee. We will do a similar exercise for each higher rate employee. Again, We start with the net benefit of £200. This time we arrive at the tax by multiplying the net benefit by 40 over 60 to give us income tax of £133. We use 40 over 60 because we are working out the tax on behalf of higher rate employees. The gross benefit in this instance is £333. Again, we can check this by taking the gross benefit of £333 and multiplying it by the higher rate of 40% to give us a tax charge of £133. Again, this tax will be paid by the employer on behalf of each higher rate tax-paying employee. This is what we mean by calculating tax on a grossed-up basis. So, to finish the example, we need to calculate the total tax to be included in the PSA. The employer has an income tax liability of £50 for each of their 50 basic rate employees. This gives a tax liability of £2,500. The employer also has a liability of £133 for each of its 50 higher rate employees. This gives a total of £6,650. Therefore, the total tax to be paid over to HMRC under the PSA is £9,150. Whenever tax is settled under a PAYE settlement agreement, the employer also needs to consider the impact of Class 1B national insurance. Class 1B NIC is charged on benefits included within a PSA. The benefits included within the PSA is the total cost of the staff function, i.e. £20,000. We then need to add on any income tax that has been included within the PSA, i.e. any income tax paid by the employer on behalf of its employees. We add these together to give us a total of £29,150. This is the net benefits plus the tax thereon. Class 1B national insurance is charged at the employer's rate of 12.8% on this total, giving us a Class 1B charge of £3,731. Remember that Class 1B is the employer's liability only, and the due date for payment is the 19th of October, following the end of the tax year. At first sight, this may appear a little harsh, in that as well as paying income tax of £9,150, the employer also has to pay national insurance at 12.8% on this income tax paid. This is because the income tax of £9,150 is strictly the liability of the employees. So what the employer is doing is settling the employee's personal liability. We know that if an employer settles an employee's liability under normal circumstances, there will be a charge to Class 1 secondary contributions. Here, the charge is under Class 1B instead.